Chapter 2. Departure. Having washed and dried himself after their impromptu dip in the lake, Godric sat on his bed and looked around his room. The dresser, with all his training clothes in, the wardrobe with his dress shirts, the bookcase that contained all his favourite books. He walked over to the ancient armchair he had borrowed from the old library building. It had been a real challenge getting it up the stairs, just him and Tolo. He worried he was going to drop it on his faithful servant. Tolo. The Marls were so interwoven into Godric's life that they truly felt like family. Tolo had sworn an oath of loyalty to Godric when they were both just children. Master Marl, Tolo's great-grandfather, was Godric's personal history and battle strategy teacher. But almost every word out of his mouth contained wisdom that Godric would never have. He let himself drop into the armchair and perused the shelf for some of his favourite myths. He picked up The War of the Horde, one of his favourites, the story of a great dragon and his faithful minion scouring the land to gain power and gold. He contemplated how he had dreamed of living such an adventure himself, escaping to the outside world for glory and riches to write his own tale of greatness. He looked around his room, noticing all the knick-knacks and ornaments he had gathered. It was his sanctuary, a portal to other worlds and other adventures. He'd spent enough time washing and drying himself that it was now almost dinner time. He'd have to go downstairs and meet his father and discuss this latest revelation. Oh yes, he would be proud. Taking in a deep breath, Godric prepared himself. If dinner was going to be its usual joyful experience, there would be an hour-long silence, broken only by the clinking of plates and the scratching of knives. Not what Godric wanted from his last meal at home. Getting up from the old armchair, he strode over to the door and opened it, walked onto the landing, and made his way down the corridor towards the staircase that led to the lower floor. Every time he walked this corridor, he felt judged and watched by the portraits of all his ancestors staring down at him, asking why he hadn't yet made a man of himself and fought in some great war. The fact there hadn't yet been a great war didn't occur to them, did it? Entering the dining area, his father and brother were already seated. The table was already set, plates and cutlery shining as if they had recently been cleaned, which most likely they had. The smell of dinner from the kitchen in the room adjacent wafted through the door, tantalizing Godric with its aromatic and meaty smells. His father sat at the head of the table, stern-faced, his brother to his left. Not yet quite coming to terms with his enlistment and fearing his father's ire, wanting to keep as much distance from his father as possible, as he usually did, he sat in his normal seat next to Charin, hoping to keep his younger sibling between him and his austere father. This was to be his last meal in this house. Was it going to be the usual silent affair, or would his father finally strike up conversation, discuss Godric's potential future, give him some sage advice, a man-to-man, heart-to-heart? In some ways, he hoped that he would, but mostly that he wouldn't. Godric wasn't sure he could cope with his father opening up, having had a lifetime of neglect and stern words. Dinner was brought in by the maids and put in front of each family member. A beautiful, dark stew with hunks of meat and fragrant herbs. Hoping to end the ritual of his family's silent meals, Godric picked up his spoon and started shoveling the stew into his mouth as fast as he could. Looking over at his younger brother, he spotted his trademark Cheshire grin growing on his already smug face.
So, did you leave enough space in your pack for Tolo?
That reminded Godric. he'd have to check that Tolo was able to leave some space for his books. He didn't want to be out on watch and not have a good book to read.
I haven't packed yet. Maybe you'd like to help me, Charin. No, thank you. Don't want to be caught up in boring packing duties. I'm off to meet some of the girls from the farm next door. You could always join me, a last foray before your imprisonment in the military. Do they even let girls into the military nowadays? Charin, I wish you wouldn't be so crass. I have known many a fine female warrior in my time.
Having uttered words during a family meal, the rest passed in awkward silence, Godric counting the seconds until he was allowed to get up and leave. As usual, his younger brother finished first. Standing up and pushing back his chair, he nodded to his father and exited the room. Godric stuffed the last few spoonfuls into his mouth and made to get up to follow his brother. Halfway out of his chair, he faltered, turning to see his father also standing.
Godric, would you please follow me into my study? I have something I would like to show you.
Flabbergasted at this crazy turn of events, Godric could do naught but follow his father as he strode out of the dining room and towards his private study. In all his years, Godric had never stepped foot inside his father's study. It was like another world, walled off from the rest of reality, a place that Godric and Charin were not allowed, where his father's secret plans and deep study went on. No one was allowed to step past the front door or even see much of what went on inside. His father would open the door, step in, and close it quickly behind him, not even leaving a glimpse of what treasures were inside. His father opened the door to his study and stepped through, leaving it ajar for the first time in Godric's memory. Walking forward, Godric stood on the threshold, taking in the room and observing its Spartan nature. Walls lined with books. A giant ornate desk that looked like it had been pulled from the captain's cabin of a royal ship. Dim lights and locked chests. This room must truly hold treasures or knowledge. Something that would hold his father here for so many late nights. Standing there, a little breathless, Godric watched as his father strode over to the desk and picked something up off it. Turning round, he held out both his hands, the object clearly displayed in his palms. Taking a few more steps inside the room, Godric examined the object his father was holding out to him. A short staff, little more than a walking stick really, the sort an old man might use whilst rambling around the local forest. Roughly 4 feet high, it was too tall to use as a cane, but too short to use as a staff.
This was your grandfather's staff, Godric. He swore of its potency, swore that should one study it effectively, meditate with it by your side, it will unlock abilities others could never dream of possessing. I myself never quite understood his fascination. I would like you to take it with you tomorrow. Your agreeing to this enlistment has made me proud, son. I want you to take this and remember that every Godmane before you has made their name on the battlefield. You were born for this honor. Make sure to uphold and continue our family's legacy.
Stunned into dumb silence, all that Godric could stutter out was,
I'll do my best.
His father simply nodded, turned around and returned his focus to something on his desk, Unsure of what more to say, Godric turned himself and exited the study as quickly as he could. In a hurry to get somewhere, anywhere other than here, Godric strode out to find Tolo. He really did need to check how much space there would be for his books. At this time of day, Tolo could usually be found at the training grounds, clearing up after the day's activities and making sure all the equipment was back where it should be. Heading out of the main door, Godric strode towards the training grounds, hoping that he would find his faithful servant soon. He had much to pack himself and didn't want to be held up too long discussing the minutiae. As he approached the training grounds, he did indeed spot Tolo, the sun setting over the horizon as this strange day drew to an end. Walking across the estate, Godric heard the faint sounds of Tolo's ukulele playing from the training grounds. Getting closer, he spied his faithful servant sat on a rock, plucking his instrument, eyes closed, deep in concentration. Godric knew from his time with Tolo that this was something he must not disrupt. A ritual that would summon Tolo's aid, his invisible servant, that would help him in his chores, tidying, cleaning, and serving Godric's various requests. Godric stood and listened for the last few minutes of Tolo's playing. It was a jaunty tune. If one concentrated enough, you could discern somewhat of a melody. Upon finishing his epic ballad, Tolo opened his eyes, and Godric observed the various items strewn over the training grounds pick themselves up and carry themselves to their various homes and storage crates. A wondrous sight to behold, if caught in time.
Ah, Godric! How was dinner? I hear it was stew tonight. My favourite. Do you have everything you need ready for tomorrow? Yes, stew. About our departure tomorrow, I wanted to know if you have space for some of my books. They are quite important to me after all, and I wouldn't want to leave too many of them behind. Oh, so you do want me to come with you then, Godric? Of course. Why would I not want you along? Oh, good. For a moment, I was worried I'd be left here and would have nothing but my normal chores for the rest of my life. A life of adventure and honour that we can have together sounds much more pleasant, if not a little risky. Do you think they'll put us in the fights, or will we be given a guard duty and be able to watch from the sidelines? I don't know, Tolo. I have no idea what to expect. Really, growing up with my father, you'd expect me to know everything there is to know about war and battle. But whenever he starts telling his stories, my head hurts and I stop listening. Anyway, it's getting quite late, and we really do have a big day tomorrow, so I think I'll head to bed. This might be the last time I get to sleep on a comfy mattress for a while. Good night, Tolo. And do see about space for my books. I've got several picked out already.
Satisfied that his faithful servant would do his utmost to cater for his needs, even in the field of battle, Godric made his way back to the family house. Once inside, he climbed the stairs and shuffled down the hallway to his bedroom, again being watched by the portraits of his ancestors. A little less judgment in their eyes this time, Godric felt. The next day, Godric was awoken by a cacophony of sound.
Morning, brother!
Godric winced as Charin's voice echoed around his room. What was he doing? This was supposed to be Godric's last good sleep before enlistment, and it was ruined by his annoying younger brother. Did his childishness know no bounds?
I thought I'd wake you up nice and early. Preparation for the military. They do roll call pretty early, I've heard. Thanks, Charin. I really didn't need the early practice. But, as you're here, I was hoping you'd walk with me up the road. You don't have to come to town, but I could do with the company there. Tolo can't carry everything after all. Of course, brother. How could I give up the last chance to make fun of you? I'll meet you after breakfast, and we can walk there together. But don't expect me to carry your stuff.
From a very young age, Godric had felt a resonance inside him, centers in his very being that vibrated at particular frequencies. He knew intuitively that he could empower these centers, draw energy into them. This energy would interact with these centers in such a way that it would create its own power, one that he could funnel into an effect that he desired. He struggled with words to describe it, but the closest he ever got was with the comparison to some unique plants he had found on the estate grounds. He had discovered, quite by accident, that if he shone a light on the leaves of a particular plant, it would emit light back at him, though at a different colour and intensity. Fluorescence is what Master Marl had called it. Much like the plant, the energy, or light, that Godric was able to absorb into him would resonate and excite distinct centres in his being. Then, at will, he could relax them again, causing them to release their own power, their own fluorescence, albeit at a lower level, which he could shape to his will. Through experimentation, he discovered there was a limit to the number of centres he could excite and relax in a given time. Through trial and error, studying myths and tomes, and the occasional secret lesson from Master Marl, Godric had collected a number of effects he could cause through the shaping of the, fluorescence of power his centres emitted after their relaxation. He did exactly this now, preparing the two centres inside himself and focusing on the effects he would use this day. By funneling the relaxed energy in a particular way, and with the aid of a pearl he had borrowed from his father's bedroom, he knew he could identify some of the deeper properties of the staff his father had given him. Godric was never very good at sitting still for long periods of time. He could focus, no problem, but his hands always itched for something to do. Right now, he held a pair of pliers that he'd been using to grip and examine the staff the night before. After channeling the fluorescence through the staff, information about it blossomed in his mind. He came to understand that it requested a bond to unlock its power to him. Once gaining this, the staff would aid him through the bond by lending him strength and resilience. A modest amount, but he could use all the help he could get. He felt there may be more, but at his current novice level, he couldn't divine any further. The staff given to him by his father was obviously an important relic, something that his grandfather had treasured. There must be some hidden secret or strength inside it that Godric could identify. From this simple divination, he wasn't able to understand the full extent of the ritual. He would have to return to it later, as it was obviously beyond his skills at the moment. Putting the staff in his bag and packing his other things, Godric quickly rushed downstairs to meet his brother out the front of the house. He considered a heartfelt goodbye to his father, though after the oddities of last night, he felt he'd probably got a lifetime's worth of affection in one night. As he hoped, Charin was indeed waiting outside, ready to walk him to the caravan up the road.
"You ready, brother? Is Tolo gonna meet us here, or do we have to go pick him up?" I'm not carrying his hunk of a shell up that road, I can tell you.
I'm here, Charin. Don't worry about me. I can carry myself, thank you very much.
Tolo stumbled up the path to the front of the house, obviously in a rush, though still walking in his usual shuffling gait.
Right then. I guess we should get going. The town is a half day's ride away, and I don't want to be late to my first day.
Climbing up the hill through the field to the dirt road that led to town, Tolo, Godric and Charin spoke little. Charin played his favourite game of jabbing Godric in the ribs every chance he got, and Godric suffered him with many a sigh and grumble. This was the last time he'd see his younger brother for a long time. He'd let him have a few jabs, just for old time's sake. Tolo, the ever-faithful servant, shuffled along next to them, slowed only slightly by his huge backpack and the many extra items tied to its outsides and hanging off his shell. After the many years of torment from his younger brother, Godric had learned the patterns of Charin's jabs and managed to dodge many of them, much to his younger brother's annoyance. He'd let him have some fun, but not all of it. At the top of the hill, waiting by the side of the road, they could see a man sat in a wagon, pulled by an aging donkey. The balding man was rather rotund and sat uncomfortably in the wooden seat atop his wagon. Tolo had sent a messenger the day before, requesting a wagon to take them to town, speeding up their journey considerably.
"Why, hello there! My name's Dorin, and I shall be your wagon driver today. Please do enter my vehicle here, and I shall gladly transport you to town."
Frowning at the eccentric man, Godric turned and faced his younger brother, a mix of emotions washing over him as he beheld his sibling, perhaps for the last time in a long time. He knew he would hate it, but Godric didn't care. He opened his arms wide and embraced his younger brother in a tight hug, what Godric considered a tight hug anyway. Totally taken by surprise, Charin did nothing but stand awkwardly and accept the hug, hands by his side, face a picture of shock. Holding the embrace only long enough for it to be slightly awkward, Godric let his brother go, turned back to the wagon, and climbed its steps.
"Don't have too much fun without me. You've got to make sure that Father doesn't spend all his time in the study. And do listen to some of Master Marl's lessons. He really does have your best interests at heart."
Remembering his station and not getting caught up in the moment, Tolo also climbed the wagon and signalled for the driver to set off. Standing by the side of the road, Charin only managed to muster a simple wave before the cart turned the corner and went out of sight.